to the Shutdown Fullcast.
That one took.
I'm going to say 9 seconds. Felt like a good 23 seconds.
No, I mean, that one literally took it all.
Oh, like, it recorded.
Like that one registered.
Delightful. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. Joining me, as always, is my co-host and the only regular member of this cast, Jason Kirk. Hey, Jason.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, you know what? I'm going to give you an update on that in a while. Might vote on it. Might have to decide how I'm doing. I might not. I might get together and just reach a consensus with myself on how I am doing. All of that could happen or none of that could happen. It's crazy. There's no telling what'll happen.
You might decide to, at some point in the possibly near future, decide to tell yourself how you're doing. And the fact of how you are doing might or might not influence the next steps in the decision process and the future of how you are doing.
It really is about process. And to understand that process, we're going to bring in a couple of guests, as we often do. One, Holly Anderson. Say hey.
Hey, guys. It's an honor to be here.
Thanks, as always.
Thanks for joining us.
Love you. Yeah. Love the show.
Honor to have you here. Also joining us, new guest, Ryan Nanny. Hey, Ryan.
Who's this asshole?
I'm busy reading about something called The Trial of the Five Catholic Lords.
That right. Thank you for joining us.
What's it about?
It is under the Wikipedia entry for something called the Popish Plot.
I was really hoping this would be on the Clemson South Carolina rivalry Wiki page.
That would be good.
The agitation of the popes.
I haven't read it all yet, and I'm not gonna do it on the show here because this is for me, not for you.
So
wow.
But it was a fictitious conspiracy in 17th century England, where two guys basically were like, there's a Catholic conspiracy to kill the king. And as a result of this, at least 22 men were executed.
Fortunately, the world is different. Well, that's a good start.
So this sounds like very like tribunal, and like there's going to be a lot of subcommittees and a lot of like just guys standing around talking to each other.
Was this the original guys being dudes?
I think what we're saying here is the Vatican is the original Big Ten.
Yes, and there are two. Well, in this case, it's the English court, because the Vatican was like, wait, what's going on? Huh? I think in this case, the Vatican is actually the Pac-12.
The Vatican is the NCAA, and the English court is the Big Ten.
Well, right. The English can't spell, and the Big Ten can't count, so...
Here are two good and useful Wikipedia headings for this topic. Height of the hysteria, immediately followed by waning of the hysteria. I would love for us to get to the waning phase.
That reads like my daily calendar.
So are we on the second or third revote of the Big Ten deciding whether they're going to play football or not this fall?
Well, a whole lot depends on what you mean by vote.
And we thought Ryan was the only attorney. Counselor Kirk, look at you. Embracing ambiguity.
Is it really a revote if it's really just a new vote? Like,
I think what the Big Ten has innovated is the pre-vote.
Ooh.
Yeah. I like this. Topical. Let me just say, the more this goes on, the more and more I admire the Pac-12 for just doing the damn thing. Pac-12, just hit eject, man.
Can I tell you the most disappointing thing, though, about the Big Ten? I thought these were all the... This is one person. This is personally disappointing to me.
I'm going to do it.
That's superb.
I thought these were all the debate nerds. And debate nerds are supposed to love, like, Robert's Rules of Order and, you know, explaining exactly how the vote happens and what motion you need to.
Yeah, God, what part of debate me, you coward, didn't take here?
Like, did y'all even do speech and debate? I know you did, because you tell us about it all of the time.
Is Michigan standing up like, no, this is a fallacy of the whatever?
A fallacy of the beard, absolutely. Exactly.
Wait, what?
You've never heard of the fallacy of the beard?
Lay it on.
I can't tell if this is a bit.
I'm going to get the exact definition. I don't want to get it right. I don't want to get it wrong.
Well, so this means like Lovie Smith is always wrong?
I can't be right.
So the argument of the beard is also known as the Sorites paradox. I've never heard that. And it's basically like, when does a beard become a beard? How many hairs do you have to have on your chin to go from you have a beard, you don't have a beard? There's the answer.
Oh, shit.
There's the answer. The other version of this is if you have a heap of sand and you remove it one grain at a time, at what exact point does it stop being a heap?
Oh, this sounds like some Michigan shit.
It's extremely speech and debate shit.
Yeah, okay. See, this is how I know I'm like Southern at heart and just an idiot, because like, so at what point does this interesting thing not become a heap? I'm like, it's a heap or it ain't.
It's a heap or
I'll
ain't.
Tell you, I'll look at it and size it up and be like, that's a heap, brother.
When my kid runs his damn power wheel over it and turns it into not a heap.
Does it make a kind of whoomp or does it make a bump when I hit it with my truck? That's a bump versus a heap.
Do you get air? If you get air, that's a heap.
Can
that's
I
right.
detour real quick to talking about hitting somebody with a truck?
All right.
I'd love to.
Preface, you're not about to confess to homicide.
No, but I would like to talk about the South Dakota Attorney General who struck a man with his car and says that he thought he hit a deer.
Slight correction.
And I just want to point out one thing, because obviously this is deeply awful. How hard is it to either hit or be hit another person in South Dakota? Like, yeah. There's a lot of want to on at least one side of this equation.
Yeah.
This was like Novak Djokovic hitting the like lady with a ball in the throat, right? Like,
yeah.
You empty the whole stadium.
How hard did you have to try to hit somebody with a ball in the empty stadium in a fairly small part of the body?
Yeah, this is like the first two people in a state, a large Western state, totaling their cars by running into each other in like 1906.
Yeah.
It's not easy to do that. By the way,
he also like in the course of this, he damaged his car so badly that it could not be driven home. Like, the sheriff loaned him his personal vehicle.
That tends to happen, by the way, if you hit a deer. If you've never hit a deer,
they
will fuck up your vehicle.
Yeah.
But in this case, a person did?
Yeah. Yes.
Or a shapeshifter. Maybe it was a shapeshifter.
Okay. Now I'm listening.
Yeah. I can tell you what. If you look at the mugshot of this dude, not even a mugshot, a shot of him, you go, is this the kind of dude who would drive home completely hammered? Absolutely.
This dude has more skin on his face than face, to a degree of like, it looks like all of the features on his face are continental drifting towards a point in the middle of his face.
Yeah,
I think they're actually sliding too far down.
Right. His face is melting off his head. Like, Peyton Manning looks at these guys' forehead and he's like, yikes.
He does have what, sorry to get political here, but he does have what I call GOP syndrome, which all the features congregate in the middle of his face. I don't know what that is, but it just always happens. If you're a Republican, it does that, you know? Just like, I don't know, if you're a Democrat, throw in any stereotype, you have sensitive glasses or something. Or like
M-O-O-N, that spells vehicular homicide.
Yeah, this guy looks like he stores beers in his cheeks the way that squirrels store nuts, you know, by stuffing them in their face. Yeah.
Laying up treasures.
Yeah.
So to go back to the Big Ten, the issue the first time around,
speaking of cheeks full of beer.
Yeah,
thank
there you,
you.
Go. There it is.
Thank you.
The issue the first time around roughly was the Big Ten poorly explained its decision to cancel fall football, both to coaches and players within the Big Ten and fans outside of that circle. Do we roughly feel like that's what went wrong the first time?
Whether they're bad at explaining stuff?
That they failed to communicate.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Sufficiently.
Quite so.
Well, yeah, and also
doesn't employ any communications professionals, so it's easy to see how this happens.
Well, I think the problem is they can't afford to hire those people. They don't have a lot of money. right? The Big Ten.
If they could pay the players.
Yeah,
they
did. They just can't.
This is a classic example of the completely unforced error in a game they didn't even know they were playing. Like, they really did get kind of, they kind of got gamer-gated, right? They really did, because initially.
I'm sorry, what?
They got gamer-gated. They did.
Let's see how it gets.
No. They got gamer-gated because. Okay. No, they did. They did, because you have a couple, of attorneys who are behind the parents' groups who are really encouraging them to file suit and make some stuff happen so they can get billable hours and get their names in. No, it's coming. So it's really a non-issue. Like, you got like 30 guys in cargo shorts outside the Big Ten headquarters, which is empty.
Yeah, this is what Nicole Auerbach brought up on Hand of the Dirt a couple weeks ago, and it was this beautiful little aside, and she was talking about the parents group protesting about Big Ten offices, and she's like, I feel like somebody should tell them that office is working from home.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that nobody did, to be clear.
So they're outside of this like empty office going like, we want Culver's. And
hang on. I too am doing this.
Yeah?
I mean, there's nothing wrong with standing around yelling about wanting Culver's.
That's true. And so really, like, the Big Ten hasn't made a big mistake yet. They might have made what I would consider to be slight procedural mistakes and how they communicate with their members. That's it. But then they start making a series of ever bigger mistakes based on the slight, almost mistake, the slight mistake. And now it snowballs into this massive deal, which is far bigger than the original issue and which can be seized on for whatever you want to accuse the Big Ten of.
I disagree with how you've characterized this, because
absolutely.
Like, within a day of this happening, Nebraska like had let rumors slip out that they were like, well, maybe we'll just leave. Penn State's athletic director was like, I don't even know if there was a vote. Nobody could agree. Like, nobody would say A, if there was a vote, B, who voted which way. And before the parent stuff, the commissioner of the Big Ten did like three different apology tours. Like,
so?
I agree. I agree that the parents thing is stupid in terms of like, they weren't even clear what they were trying to accomplish. It's an incredibly small. It's an incredibly small fraction of parents of students that got way too much attention for what it is. So yeah, I agree with like that narrow part of it. But like, if this was going to work, if you were going to sort of like rip the Band-Aid off and get most Big Ten fans on board, that would have involved saying, hey, let's all be clear. This is what we're voting on. This is why we're voting on it. This is what we're going to say afterward. And none of that happened.
So I have sort of a, you know, I might be right, I might be wrong, but my conception of what they ultimately fucked up in terms of having every, you know, having ducks in a row and all that was, they were in such a fucking hurry to be the first one to be on the right side of history. Like, they wanted to lead. They broke from the Power Five in announcing they were changing the schedule, which they did the day after the Ivy League canceled football, because the Big Ten for 100 years has wanted to be Harvard-Yale, but with cows. And
hey, Dartmouth has cows.
And as soon as they did that, you know, they did that at the conference level, but they hadn't done it at the school level, the president level, and surely not the coach level yet, you know? And, like, maybe it takes another 2 months to convince, you know, even if not everyone, at least someone, like, if just Harbaugh comes out and says, you know, that he's on board, that helps diminish the overall amount of screaming somewhat, you know? And
yeah,
like,
it's not...
I think the Big Ten probably made the right thing for, you know, probably made the right choice, probably for the wrong reasons. And now they've since made a whole bunch of other choices, and it's a mess.
But they also, like, in the midst of all of this, there's been, like, so much bullshit floating around from the beginning of the decision forward with, like, everybody's leak. Like, the coaches all met, and that got leaked. The coaches have no power in this
None.
Whatsoever, but, like, still, that, like, makes its way out. And the Big Ten's failure to sort of like put its arms around what's happening and say firmly, like, hi, here is what's happening. Like, why is this is the big difference to me between the Big Ten and the SEC, at least in terms of how they would approach this. The Big Ten would quietly leak, like, yes, the presidents are meeting on Sunday, and they might vote, they might not. The SEC would put it on SEC Network. Yeah. The SEC would, like, say, yes, we're having this meeting. Immediately after that, the commissioner's going on Paul Feinbaum, and he's going to tell you what we, like, the Big Ten's reliance on, like, well, we'll just tell our journalism friends, and they'll get it out into the world, is getting, like, 15 different messages out there from a million different people, and it's letting like all like what did Nebraska's AD today on a hot mic was like, oh, we're gonna have an announcement tonight.
Okay, so about that.
Yeah,
about that. This is, by the way, so notice what the SEC did. SEC punted, ironically, kind of the Big Ten's move.
SEC ended up looking smart entirely by accident on purpose.
Going slow.
Kind of. Well, no, because their thing was like, and we have spoken to people within the conference from which we have gotten this impression. We're not just talking. They have basically just tried to stay real, 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 real quiet until they figure their shit out. And they accidentally ended up looking smart. Like, they stayed quiet on purpose. They look smart on accident.
If they'd had to cancel, what did they have? Time. If they could go through with that, what did they have? Time. That's what they, the most valuable commodity in all this was time, whether you were wrong or right.
I could make an SEC speed joke here, and I will, but one thing they either grasped intentionally at the start of this or came away looking like they grasped at the start of this, and at that point that's a distinction without a difference, is that it was going to be impossible to make plans for September in July.
Yeah, here we are entering week three, and the SEC has played no games. Like,
still ranked, though, baby. Still ranked.
I don't want to talk about it.
The SEC and the Big Ten have played the same number of games, but the Big Ten canceled months earlier and is now scrambling to join back in, whereas the SEC has done nothing, you know, and doing nothing proved to ultimately be just as valid because, okay, now we don't have people rallying and breathing on each other at SEC headquarters. Boom, right there. The SEC's keeping you safe by not making you scream in a stranger's face in front of the empty SEC headquarters.
How am I right in thinking that the Big Ten is now maybe screwed? Because the information has gotten out there that they're going to meet and revote. And there has been enough sort of murmuring, like the football accounts for at least Ohio State and Penn State and probably other schools have started putting out like hype videos about this to sort of imply like, oh, here it comes. Put your big boy pants on. It's time to block and tackle again.
Also, to be clear, we are recording this like during the quote fingers vote announcement. Right. Whatever.
Yeah, it's Tuesday night. Something's going to be different. But yeah,
whatever is happening Tuesday night, we don't really know or care. Just, you know, Wednesday, all the Big Ten jokes still apply.
So I care for this. Here's the only reason I care. Can they even vote no at this point? Like, have they gotten the fans and maybe the players and coaches so worked up about, like, well, okay, you cleaned your room 3 weeks in a row, so I guess you can play football. Like, are they so far down that emotional path that to say, no, we still think it's medically it's a medically and legally bad idea to do this would be just total catastrophe?
I think it's going to be catastrophe in terms of various political angles and collateral damage that nobody will care about, like 98.5% of the people involved with Big Ten football won't care at all. Like, it's a bad, like, you'll see an article. It's like, you know, oh, Kevin Warren's difficult first year. No one cares. Like, did I get football or not? That's generally what most people will care about. And ultimately, if they get it, that's fine, because if the Big Ten gets everything together, when are they going to end up playing? Oh, look, about the time the SEC starts playing. Maybe a little afterwards. Ooh, it'll be cold. It'll be super Big Ten. Everybody will forget. Won't matter. Now, for people involved politically, I will say this. Who is out here making the most dissonant notes in this chord of disunity? Nebraska.
Well, I would say Nebraska, Ohio State, 1A, 1B.
Okay, okay. So let's compare those two cases, Professor. Let's just open up the books and let's say this. Ohio State, a cornerstone member of the Big Ten Conference. Yep. Yep. Recent monopolist in terms of conference titles. National power with garlands upon laurels, upon awards, upon plaudits, upon accomplishments. Okay. The closest thing we have to Real Madrid of the I-75 corridor north, yeah, that's what we're talking about. We're talking
probably
about
with the tax fraud. If I had, I don't know.
I'm guessing with the tax fraud and all of the fascist associations that
Ohio
come with
State,
it. Okay,
it's a compliment. Just take it.
Oh, yeah, just take
Florida,
it.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah, just take it. Okay, like Francisco Franco, Woody Hayes, same person.
Wow,
anyway,
that's kind of on
better
point.
Hair.
Better hair. Yeah. So, Ohio State. When Ohio State complains about something in the Big Ten, one must go, ah, take this seriously. A paying member of the Big Ten for over 7,000 years. Ohio State. It's like Qin Dynasty, Ohio State. Those are equal institutions in terms of longevity. But no, who's out there making the biggest mess of things? Nebraska! Recent addition, add-on, I would say if this were the house, Ohio State, the hearth, the living room, where everybody gathers, maybe the kitchen, maybe where the grub is actually made, right? Michigan's the fine study that nobody really goes to sit in, right? They're like, look at all these books.
It's for looking.
That we don't read.
It's the conference of the good chair.
Right. We used to spend a lot of time in here, but now not so much.
Grandfather loved this room. He's been dead for 30 years.
Yes. He's been dead since like 07, at least.
No, 07. That's the year. That's the year.
That's when we lost Grandpa.
Pretty early that year.
So if the Big Ten is this particular house that we're laying out, Nebraska is at best the tacked on sunroom in the back at the moment. And that might even be a little complimentary in terms of what they mean.
Nebraska, you're talking farmers. I think Nebraska's like, oh, we're starting a garden, you know, and
I was going to say like separate shed.
You were into it for like a month, that garden. And now it's weeds.
Ew, spiders.
You said separate shed. And all I could think of was like, oh God, that sounds like a really just deeply bitter guitar anthem.
I was the garage. They're not the shed. Like I was part. They're part of the house. But like
we're not proud to be the garage.
Yeah. I love how cold this floor is.
I love to come out here and bang the floor with my hammer.
Like
how much money
Hemingway, I can cut baby shoes never worn in half. Separate sheds.
And much
now
like
who's sad.
Much like someone's garage, there's a little bit of overpriced stuff in there. You're like, man, there's a lot of expensive stuff out here.
Yeah. How long are you on the hook for that one?
Yeah.
I got a lot of payments to go on this one.
There's also stuff that in your garage where you're like, it's been there how long? You're like, yep. Had the same edger for 30 years. I don't know how.
Can't really get rid of it, though. Pretty good edger. Not great. It's pretty good.
Unfortunately, that coach is load-bearing now.
I like the idea of load-bearing now with the notion that it has become load-bearing over time.
Yeah, like the entire state of Iowa is kind of just slumped onto Kirk Ferentz's shoulders.
And but I will say this, though. Nobody ever looks at the garage and says, this room isn't doing the best it can. Generally, they're like, no, this is about what the garage could be at its best, which is okay. Not great, but it's a garage.
Some years you put a pool table in the garage, and that's great.
Nebraska, you messy piece of crap. What on earth are you doing? You have no credit. None. You absolute garbage scows.
And on Scott Frost Day, too.
You freeloaders. You carpetbaggers.
Happy Scott Frost Day, everybody.
Oh, excuse me. Yes. To those who observe, happy Scott Frost Day.
You Aravis Johnny Come Latelys to the conference, okay? Ye, who barely know a Bob Evans from a Bob Evans, okay? Oh, yeah, yeah. You, who until recently were hanging out in the Big Eight. Yeah.
Who hired Mike Riley to fix things.
Who hired Mike Riley to fix things, okay?
Who are like 2-3 against Purdue.
Where's Mike Riley?
is Mike Riley?
He was in the XFL, wasn't he?
He was the Seattle Dragons coach.
We ask this every 6 months. It's good to check up on.
Yeah, it's important to maintain Mike Riley situational awareness.
He's right here. And he's
so nice. The nice guy. Like, it's good to know where the nice guy is in case you need one.
Mm.
You messy, messy, messy hillbillies.
You've been trying real hard not to call them bitches, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
You can have one. You can have
no. No. Okay. I'm going to steer into this, okay? Because right now, Nebraska is a $5 program that's trying to take out 100 at the ATM, and it ain't working. I'm going to go ahead and take you to this. One, that they were one of the most vocal and the most angry and loudest factions in the Big Ten in terms of dissatisfaction over the initial Big Ten vote. Also, in the middle of all this, your gigantic, dumb, I'm sorry, what was the guy on Breaking Bad that Scott Frost resembles? Gigantic, scary, white guy who was also on Friday Night Lights.
He's kind of a big Landry, kind of a little Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, big Landry, okay? Big dumb Landry, your head coach, went ahead, and guess who we had on? The spicy Nugs guy, who, by the way, was making fun at that city council meeting of Black Lives Matter when doing it, and has a history of extremely sketchy, quote-unquote, activism in this department. Yeah, you had him on to come to the team.
Wait a second, I just heard the hollering. They had that guy? At a school function?
No, they did a supposed to be cheeky, like, fake press conference with that dude.
You dumb bitches.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, you eat cinnamon rolls with chili, which I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's unnecessary.
Mm.
That's it.
We found the Rubicon. Why don't you come on back to the stable?
Like I said, on the sounder parts of my argument, I will continue forward.
But here's my thing. Take everything you say is true, and I think it largely is. What has the Big Ten done about it? Like, to me, this is, and maybe this is not a totally clean equivalent, honestly, because they may have been better since they moved. But this is like if Mizzou did this in the SEC. If
oh
the SEC
God.
Sit down,
right?
Sit down.
Like,
this hey, is at least Mizzou's won some division
that's,
titles.
That's what I was gonna say. It's like actually, it's not as good because Mizzou probably has a little more weight to throw around, at least in terms of record.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's more like the Aggies doing it.
Yeah, but the Aggies.
No, that'd be fun. That at least would be fun. Also, they would have a better plan.
And the Aggies are scary.
And
so
they have
like,
swords.
But they're way over there.
But they kind of constantly have the, like, hey, we're all from a horror film. Look at our suits.
Oh, pardon me. By the way, what do I know that Texas A&M is going to write? If they can't do anything else, if they can't bust over 7 wins for a 5-year, as an average over a 5-year period, okay? If they can't give me entertainment, which, by the way, A&M, not always for their benefit, is definitely an entertaining team from time to time. Okay,
A&M is also rich enough to know to just let the lawyers handle it.
That's true.
I mean, are you weird and entertaining? Absolutely. Okay, sometimes in a scary way, to be honest, sometimes in a kind of frightening way, you're entertaining. Okay, do you know what Nebraska has? Bad memories and a rubber mascot.
And balloons.
That's what they have.
And balloons.
Nebraska for the last like 3 or 4 years has been really fun to watch. Like, they've provided a lot of entertainment for a lot of
again,
people who live outside of
Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, occasionally A&M will pop a team that I just go, man, what a joy to watch. Not necessarily for y'all, but sometimes for y'all. Nebraska doesn't even give that right now. They don't.
But you know what? It might work. It might work. Nebraska might get
what
its way.
Might work? Oh, okay.
Nebraska might get to play football. Like, yes, Nebraska has been the loudest and most consistent agitator. Some other schools have been up there with them. But like, yeah, I'm fine if you want to say that they've beaten the drum loudest and longest. And this might be the biggest win in program history. In not program history, but in like the last 10 years.
No, he said that.
Right. So. It's the biggest win in the lifetimes of any current college football players for Nebraska.
Yes, it is that.
Folks, you can reach Jason and Ryan by adding Stephen Godfrey on Twitter.
Yep. By subscribing to Moon Crew LLC.
There it is.
Oh, so, what's that song?
Oh, no, no, no. I'm sorry. I got to finish this up. And then
oh,
we will
God,
get to this.
He's still going.
No, I am still I am still going because so I am offended. Mad. I am offended by principle in terms of all of the crap Nebraska is attempting to pull on this, okay? Because someone needs to pull their credit. Pull your
You're
credit.
Not Nebraska, you've upset
What's that
Pluto.
Number? Spencer, you're at the dealership and you are not getting this car.
Spencer, how? Tractor. Spencer, have you ever done something that your youngest son wanted you to do, even though he did not have the pull or the money or the contribution or whatever?
I'm going to give I'm going to give the funniest possible answer. No. Like, who would say no to that, by the way? It'd be like, never.
Yes.
That child has never gotten a moment's satisfaction out of me.
Yeah,
of course.
That's the Woody Hayes dad there.
You think this is what the Big Ten is doing?
I would like to talk about the sport that was invented in my home this summer by your sons called boxing, where one of them puts a cardboard box on his head and the other one punches him in the face until the box falls off.
That sounds right.
That's boxing. Why isn't that boxing?
It's a Canadian tradition. There's a whole day for it.
So I wanted to take
this,
though.
That's their Super Bowl.
That's all.
That Nebraska and their SEAL Team 6 of PR, okay?
Wow. Hang on.
You Omaha Nabobs. You fools.
Can we call them SEAL Team Hicks?
Yes.
That's pretty good.
SEAL Team Hicks.
We like Hicks.
I know. Well, he called them hillbillies earlier, even though they don't have hills.
I was actually, that's when I started to take offense, you will notice, because they ain't no hillbillies about them.
Yeah. Okay. As people who were either born as or immediately descended from Hicks and hillbillies, we do not mean those things as insults.
Yes. You corn-hugging flatland fools.
The Central Cornintelligence Agency.
Yes. The Central Cornintelligence Agency, the brain trust in Lincoln today, did this. They did this. KTV reports. At 11:35, by the way. Thanks for getting this one off before lunch. I appreciate it. Just so we could get it out of the way. Okay? University of Nebraska president on a hot mic. Okay? On a hot mic said this.
Yeah, we're getting ready to announce the Huskers in Big Ten football tonight.
Ted Carter on a hot mic before the news conference was like, yeah, we're doing this. It's happening. It's 10:15 p.m. Has it happened yet, y'all? No, it is not.
Ted Carter sounds like a weatherman. I said it.
He's not very good at forecasting, is he? No. Can I tell you this?
No.
Ted Carter... There's footage of him looking at his phone and realizing very clearly the moment when this hit the internet during the press conference, where his head just goes like,
this.
Oh no, Ted Carter messed up. That's what Ted Carter's saying to himself. He's like, oh, Ted Carter messed up today.
It's Ted
Folks,
Carter
Folks, we call them the SEAL Team Shits.
Yeah. And how messy, by the way, this is my favorite thing about this. Every single person involved in this Big Ten thing is like, oh, the conference is terrible with messaging. Then Nebraska goes out and trips on its own dick and does this. It's like, yeah, it's coming tonight.
I wouldn't have thought they had the length for that.
Again, if it works, it's not going to matter. If it works, Nebraska fans are going to be like, they love us. They fought for us. They did it so we could watch our underprepared team go 3-5 at best.
And is that working?
I think compared to the alternative, it might be.
I mean, in your best case scenario, you have to watch your team lose. Why not just not watch your team at all?
Well, listen, there's a whole separate, that's a whole separate argument. And now you're saying, why don't people have saner expectations? And that should,
if you're a Nebraska fan, you know it's not going to be good if you play football. You just want to play football for the principle of it. There's nothing to enjoy here. You know that.
We're not so different, you and me, Nebraska.
Nothing. Basically, I love this, though, because I feel like there is a core of Nebraska people who, if they hear this, are going, yeah, that's right. You know what this season's about? Squatting.
Yeah.
That's it. Squatting and getting some reps. That's it. We're just going to get bigger.
I think you're forgetting that, like, people real people made of bone and blood,
mostly,
like you and I.
Mm. And corn.
Like went online and were like, you know what? I think Taylor Martinez is a Heisman candidate. I think he could win it.
Mm-hmm. I can't control that. That's not my fault.
But I'm saying, and I understand that, but like we can't look at that and be like, well, you know the season's going to go bad. Man, Taylor Martinez threw 56 touchdowns and 29 picks in 4 years.
That's pretty awesome.
That's a lot.
I couldn't do that. Yeah, no, that's awesome. I couldn't do that. Yeah.
That's better than Eric Crouch.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now they're going to write.
Folks, you can reach Jason again at Stephen.Godfrey.
Subscribe to Moon Crew LLC for all sorts of takes.
His name wasn't Eric Throw.
Yeah.
That's true.
Wow.
Yeah. Can I say this, by the way, in conclusion, right? To this whole thing where Nebraska doing this is like Colorado coming in and being like, USC, I got a few things about how you do things. And you're the Pac-12.
Colorado's like, oh, cool. See ya. We'll see you next year.
Yeah, Cal's got some pointers. Yeah, no, like the entire Pac-12 was my favorite in this, okay? Got ACC, Big 12. Came out and they're like, ah, we're amoral and venal. We're just going to play football. That's what we want. We like blood. The SEC's like, you know what we're going to do? Take a nap. We're going to come back. See how this works.
You know what y'all know what the SEC's doing? They're playing possum, y'all.
Yeah, they are.
Oh man. You know what?
They're trying to
win this thing in the fourth quarter is what they're trying to do.
I don't understand that reference, and I won't respond to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say, the other thing they're doing, and I think we learned this last week, is they were like, oh, sorry, schedule's full with conference games. Can't play. Would love to play non-conference. Just can't. Would love to.
Hey, Big 12, how do non-conference games tend to turn out? Is it a good idea to keep one of those on your schedule? Is that the right number to keep?
We'll just play the Sun Belt. It'll be fine.
I love it. I love so the SEC with the – this is off topic, but the first time for this
off
program.
Off topic
that's ever
from
happened.
What?
So the SEC, the non-conference thing, I love it so much because they're like, we're going to play 10 games, the hardest, toughest schedule in America, nothing but SEC teams. We're going to quarantine all our losses amongst ourselves. It's the only thing we're quarantining. But, like, you know, there is no shame of losing to a different conference. It's impossible. Like, by definition, every loss is a quality loss because it's a loss to a team that's lost to nothing but SEC teams. None of us have lost to any Sun Belt teams. It's a perfect argument. I don't know why every conference doesn't just do 12 conference games and then call everyone else cowards.
I like it because it's basically like, hey, did you like John Carpenter's The Thing? What if you did a whole football season like that? Alabama, are you the alien?
We're playing Arkansas 9 times. That's 9 SEC football games.
Watch Wilford Brimley gets chewn in half.
This is why Central Arkansas is the king of this year, 2020.
R.I.P. Wilford.
Yeah, sir. Central Arkansas is the team because they're the only ones who are doing the Mid-South Airlines schedule. They're the only ones who are truly doing it.
They're trying to win the SEC's approval by any means necessary.
They are. Okay, you know what? I'm done. I'm through with my Nebraska discussion.
For now.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure because you know what? They came in and they wanted the F-150 Raptor. You know what they're driving off the lot with? Used Focus, not even the RS. That's what I'm going to let him out with.
Got a car, though.
Got a car, though. You're in the league.
Mama, he's bona fide.
Scott Frost is driving that thing off going, yeah, I'm going to get some sick exhaust on this. I'm going to supercharge it. I'm going to get up to like 240 horsepower. It'll be great.
Landed Gentry.
Podcast business. Podcast business. It's a business. What's a business? Still mad about Nebraska.
So mad about Nebraska. Yeah. My God.
See? Yeah.
There's just foam flying
Huskers.
Off him.
Is this about Tommy Frazier?
No, man. They were
awesome. You think either.
Okay.
No, they were awesome. Mm. Okay. I got no beef with with Joel Makavica. How could you?
Okay. It bears asking, that's all.
Okay. Mm. Jason, podcast business.
This program is a production of Moon Crew LLC, a college football and stuff that's not college football media conglomerate, bringing you our items and products, including the free mooncrew.substack.com newsletter, which has produced multiple pieces of journalism within the past week or so. Spencer Hall has interviewed not just Joe Tessitore, host mm-hmm. of the world's most important sports program. Spencer Hall has also reported on Middle America, done what the Yankee coastal elites won't do. He's gone to, at least over the phone, to Houston, Texas, to talk about, you know, hardworking Americans just trying to make ends meet, such as the end of a tree and the end of a roof.
Drop a tree on him, Wayne.
Technically, that's holy
also,
moly as well. So.
Yeah.
Also became an accidental overnight TikTok sensation.
Yeah, because the guy who if you go to Moon Crew and you subscribe to the newsletter, you can read the interview I had with Matt Bieniak, who is part of the family who owned a house in Houston that had a tree dropped on it by a man paid $1,200 to do a job that somebody else should have done. Unless the entire point of the job was to drop a tree on a house, because he dropped a tree on a house. And
I love the quote in there where the man, the tree dropper, apparently said that he deserved full payment or something close to it, because he did like 95% of the job.
Just like Georgia in the 2012
hey,
SEC championship.
Tree's down, ain't it?
Tree's yeah, down. Kurt. You didn't tell me where you wanted me to put it.
You didn't say shit about the house.
You didn't say it had to go right there.
Ungrateful.
Call that landscaper Kirby Smart, because he got, you know, well over 95% of the job done.
He got the tree down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He did. And it landed somewhere, for sure.
Also in our newsletter, we have Alex telling the Big Ten exactly what it is, which is historically, all time, a mess of split personalities that will never reconcile. And that is why it is what it is, because that's what it's always been. And we got other stuff. Watch Grid is back. Top whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got a lot going on in the newsletter. Also, we have launched our Discord. And we enjoyed it this college football weekend and other days. It's been fun. Like it's
no
it's
anime cool. dogs channel though. Notice
yet.
That.
Yet. Okay. Yet. We're looking into new rooms. You know, we are testing out video. We did some video stuff at like 11 o'clock Saturday night. It was like Spencer, Richard, and Alex were the Mark May. I don't want to say any of you was the Lou Holtz. You were just all three Mark May.
Nobody's Reese Davis.
No.
All right.
We
okay.
No, we don't. Reese doesn't deserve that.
Mark May
come on.
Does. Lou Holtz doesn't for one reason. Reese Davis doesn't for an entirely different reason. Right?
Yes.
He's,
that's
he's too,
that's
too
very
classy.
Well put.
Okay.
But yeah, we're going to keep messing with video. We're going to figure some stuff out there. But it's been fun. You know, and it's awesome to have a social network that is not Twitter. Like, to just, I'm going to close Twitter. And, you know, in Discord, everyone is talking about, like, mac and cheese for an hour. That's awesome.
It's so oh
it is really really good to have my canimals back. I was in I was really bummed after the first Saturday of football. I don't mind sharing here, because it was so quiet. You know, there was not only, you know, did we not have Banner Society Slack of last year, but I had no Alex, I had no Jason, I had no Richard, I had no shit, who was the fourth one anyway?
Yeah,
I forget. But the gang was
Boromir.
All there.
I think it was Boromir.
Mm, yeah. But God, he would take three fucking crossbow arrows to the chest and still be whining about his king. But yeah, it was really good to see all of our familiar avatars again this weekend, because week one was way too quiet. It is really good to have y'all back.
Yeah, and so like the very fun thing about it now is this is no longer just a Saturday thing. Like it's just always open 24/7. Yeah, that's been a whole new
like sheets.
A whole new spin on it that
it is like sheets. And like sheets, sometimes you wander in and yeah. You're like, I didn't know this was on the menu. For
like
instance,
cornbread made from Gatorade.
For instance, I wandered into the live events channel tonight and we apparently have the Jimmy Butler Appreciation Society going, which I love, because Jimmy Butler's nuts.
That makes sense.
He's got multiple screws loose.
He's got a commercial singing Hall & Oates, though, doesn't he?
He does.
He's like if Tim Burton was in the NBA.
He said he's in a, at one point he went driving with an F1 driver in a, I believe it was a Ferrari, but you know, don't quote me on that, super fast car at speed around a track, and it's gigantic Jimmy Butler crammed into this tiny little car telling the guy, yeah, man, I drive a minivan and I feel like my stomach is about to come out of my ass.
It's
beautiful. So I'm just glad that there are other people who appreciate it. For the price of $3, by the way, which, you know, one, you should probably pay for more things on the internet. And two, we're not asking you to pay a lot. It's $3.
$3 that if you'd like to join us, you know, podcasts will remain free to you, newsletters free to you, etc. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to opt into this community, patreon.com/mooncrew. We would like to add more stuff to that over time. For now, this is all.
I feel really confident, by the way, saying that it's definitely $3 worth of entertainment.
I would like to read you two Jimmy Butler sentences. He is good friends with Mark Wahlberg, whom he met while Wahlberg was filming Transformers: Age of Extinction in Chicago.
That doesn't speak well of him.
That's sentence one. Here's sentence two. Are we ready? Mm-hmm. The two have vacationed in Paris together.
Damn. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this moment, for these friends, for this information that nourishes our bodies.
Hey, you want to go to the Musée d'Agout? It's the sewers. They run all under the whole city. It's fucking incredible.
Jimmy, you got to see the Musée d'Orsay.
Jimmy Mark Butler's Wahlberg like, at the fucking Arc de Triomphe. Like, if I'd fucking been here, they wouldn't have had to build this thing because we never would have been fucking conquered to begin with. The fucking Huns coming over the hills.
I don't want to be buried in no glass pyramid. I can't do this accent for shit.
No.
I don't think Jimmy Butler's above asking Mark Wahlberg to do quotes from movies. And by that, I mean movies that he doesn't even realize Mark Wahlberg wasn't actually in.
Sure.
It's like, Mark, do Forrest Gump.
Yeah. Can you do Good Will Hunting? I wasn't in that. Just do Good Will Hunting.
Just do
Mark
it.
Wahlberg's like, he's like, I love you, Jimmy Butler. That's why I'm going to do Good Will Hunting for
you. Hey, Jimmy Butler, do you like apples?
Wait a second. Do you think Mark rides around on Jimmy's shoulders when they're in big crowds?
Yes. Yes.
So that, because everybody smokes in France, he's going to get a cigarette in the eye with his height.
Not if he's riding Jimmy
maybe
Butler.
Maybe he's up there because he wants to collect all the cigarette smoke.
Mm.
Up there, he has more access to all of it.
Yeah, they're basically the American Asterisk e Obelisk, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is beautiful. I love it.
Obelisk, come here.
we're
gonna fuck up some mole freet.
That is mooncrew.substack.com. Go ahead, subscribe. If you don't like it, still free. Free.
That's the spirit.
That's what, you know what? Like, I think it's excellent. I think it's fantastic. But even if you don't like it, guess what? You've wasted a total of $0 on this. All right?
Yeah.
Although you should spend three.
If you would like to spend more of your dollars,
mm-hmm.
homefieldapparel.com, big things percolating.
Pop it.
It is big new Saturday, week by week. Auburn just blew up. Auburn family came in and
not in any of the usual ways.
Filled up that collection plate. The mega church is building its own. It's getting a secondary shed, so to speak.
Auburn's buying Nebraska. You heard Auburn. It.
They might. I don't. There's not many recruits out there, so I don't know.
Please welcome new spokesmodel Trooper Taylor.
You could put a really good JUCO in Lincoln. Maybe that's what it's.
Oh, called. That reminds me. Home field should have duffel bags.
Yes. up next for home field, we have Colorado State University. We're going to go back to the G5. Very, very beautiful color. I have a long thought. They have some, you know, one of the best color combos in all of sports. Some of mm-hmm. the prettiest old uniforms in all of sports. You can have a Ram logo. There are no other football teams with Ram logos. There used to be one in the NFL, but now they look like Pac-Man is being chopped in half. Colorado State. That'll be fun and exciting. Promo code, as always, for your first order. I forget.
Full cast.
I've only done this like 10 times.
Yeah.
No text in front of me. It's all straight off the dome.
That's right. I got to spit this first. Hold on. Full cast.
First,
code.
I
got to
remember the name of our program.
I'm wondering suddenly why I laughed so hard when I heard an IMG staffer refer to us as psychotic thinkers. And I was like, that's funny.
Thinkers.
It's not.
Yeah. I will say this, by the way, the Colorado State gear also RAM, powerful totem. Colorado State, located in Fort Collins, a.k.a., you know, like the friendly boulder, a.k.a. smells way better than its reputation says it smells, okay? A.k.a.
Wait, like, are there smell memes about Fort Collins? Explain.
Yeah, because they're close to like a, they're close to a major cattle processing facility, and like it's just down the road. It's not in Fort Collins, so people sort of got them confused, and they're like, ah, Fort Collins smells. It doesn't. It's excellent, and it smells fantastic. Like 97% of the state of Colorado, okay? Maybe not right now that like half of it's on fire, but still, okay? Excellent town, fantastic logos, superb legacy, including the legendary Bradley Van Pelt, mm-hmm. one of my favorite college football players of all time, and the iconic college that guy. Home field's got you. You're going to look good. And people are going to think you're like kind of a Colorado hipster because... You didn't just get the Boulder shirt. That's like Radio Standard Colorado, right? Like, oh, man, you like Boulder.
That's for gamblers.
Yeah. Do that, because Colorado's dangerous. Colorado State, dependable. Colorado State.
Steady, reliable, yep. Colorado State.
Steady, reliable
three
Colorado
and nine,
State.
3-9 is steady.
Rock.
Yeah. You know how long it took Georgia fans to get fed up with Mike Bobo? Like a decade.
I thought you were going to say, you know how long it took Georgia fans to get stable.
Oh, we haven't gotten there yet.
Hold the phone on that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. You know how long it took Colorado State? Like 2 years. They were like, nah, man. We're fast. We're smart. We're at high altitude. Our brain cells work faster.
Yeah. So Colorado State's up next. Whole bunch of other schools up next. Hey, if you are out there and you are a college, you know whether you're on that list or not, don't you? If you're not on that list, you're going to be pretty embarrassed by the end of that list, by the fact that you weren't on that list.
Y'all going to let Auburn be better than you? Do you know what they're like when they're better than you?
Somebody's going to be the last school to sign with home field.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, probably
it's
before.
It's going to be
Louisville.
Liberty after the rapture.
Mm.
When all the other schools are...
I don't know about that Louisville, by the way. About that. Might hold that thought.
I mean, me, if I'm, say, like a Big Ten school that's agitating loud and long to return to play football and
sure.
I don't have a home field.
Yeah, Louisville.
Yet,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, if I'm like, oh, let us play, and I don't have a home field deal, how much do you really want to play football?
How serious am I? Yeah.
Want to play football without snuggly, comfortable, just form-fitting enough lounge apparel? Couldn't be me.
Play football naked, you weirdos? You need a soft, comfy hoodie on you.
You're
Midwestern.
In God's country.
How come? If I'm wearing a hoodie, then you, Midwest man, you better be wearing a hoodie.
Off the top of my head, we've got Michigan State, Purdue, Iowa, Rutgers, Maryland. What other Big Ten? Hold on, I just said Michigan State.
You're missing a major one, sir.
They're on home field.
Ah, oh, yeah.
Home field school. Like, am I missing anybody? Indiana, obviously. Whoops.
Sorry about that, Connor. I didn't do it.
Ryan, you just got us fired.
Ryan, you erased Indiana football, much like Tennessee Volunteers erased Indiana football from the football field.
Scandal.
Maybe we'll get lucky, and by the time this episode comes out, Indiana's joined the ACC.
Where they probably belong.
Yeah. Indianapolis is basically Charlotte without an ocean. An ocean within 6 hours. An ocean within a 6 hour drive. Sorry.
I'm sorry. How close is the nearest Caesars Casino?
Man, North Carolina is a lot further across the drive than you think it is, as we all discovered after our Charlotte show.
I would go ahead, by the way, and just conclude with this. How you going to be a Big Ten school if you can't wear heather?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm. Beneath that perma cloud.
How's it gonna match? How's it gonna match with your fine? How's it gonna match with your fine B1G attitude? Okay, if you can't wear Heather,
isn't it stark that like there are Big Ten schools that a sweatshirt manufacturer contacts them and they say no.
No, we don't.
What are you doing?
No, we have enough sweatshirts.
That's gray sweatshirts.
No, you don't. That's like a plant. That's like a plant saying no more sunlight. Please. No.
Oh no, no more chlorophyll. I'm good.
I'm good. I'm good on chlorophyll. The thing I use all the time.
I love the gentle gray hoodie as like the opposite of urban camo. That's like rural camo. That's mm-hmm. why you see so much in the Midwest. That gray hoodie.
Or you don't.
I'm just
see
trying
it,
to
rather.
Blend in the sky. Well, you see them because you see the cargo shorts beneath.
Actually, I can see a Big Ten plant going. Oh, it's too much chlorophyll.
Too showy.
Mustn't be greedy.
No, I'm going to go into a thoughtful recumbence for 6 months. And
as a Medill plant, I should merely observe the sun.
So you're saying they're corpse flowers.
I'm saying they're going to punt on 6 months of the year. That's, by the way, what is seed dispersal in a post-flowering phase for a plant but punting?
That's
ever thought
Hail
about
Mary.
That?
That's a Hail Mary.
I bet you can track the decline of Michigan football with colony collapse disorder.
My blood actually ran cold.
So it starts with the bees, and it ends with Rich Rodriguez.
It ends?
Brady Hoke is merely the fingernails growing on the corpse.
Ryan, please read a bunch of quotes from Wicker Man in your best Brady Hoke voice. Thank you.
How'd it get burned?
He couldn't be in the Wicker Man because at the end of the Wicker Man, you have to put something on your head. Brady Hoke has to keep that free. No headset, no bee cage.
It's where most of your heat escapes.
They wouldn't sacrifice Brady Hoke. They're like, it's too much heat for the winter. Need a thinner specimen. That man's robust.
Are we done with podcasts? Is there more podcasts?
That
videos?
Is the end.
Is this
the end
of the episode?
All right. We have an important thing to note.
We do.
On this program, we are the historical timekeepers, the priests of the high church, the maintainers of the sacred oracles, the concept of Blood Week. Discovered by Ryan a few years ago, and I have since adopted the role of like museum caretaker or something, because I have a spreadsheet. Same thing. We did not get one of these last year. Blood Week, of course, in college football is a week when a whole bunch of teams in the top 10 and or top 25, mostly top 10, suffer harm all on one Saturday. Just, you know, number one goes down, number five, number six, number nine, like that kind of chaos. All at once. We didn't get one last year, which was really unfortunate because we spent, you know, a lot of our weekdays building up the concept with a series of episodes you can go back and listen to on this podcast. Here we are, two weekends into the 2020 season, and we have already had one. We had number 23 Iowa State lose to the Ragin' Cajuns. Well, we had. I'll run down the statistics.
I was just hyping you up. I know we're calling it.
Oh.
Number 23 Iowa State lost to the Ragin' Cajuns as part of the Sun Belt Uprising. You think that's funny, Iowa, don't you? Well, guess what? You were number 24. You are no longer number 24. You are out as well. That's two ranked teams now unranked. Number 22 Utah, number 19 Minnesota. Perpetual teams who are ranked between number 19 and number 22 in every ranking in the history of time.
God, Minnesota would love if that were true.
Well, it no longer is, because now they're unranked. Number 16, Michigan. Number 17, USC. You both tend to show up ranked, and you both tend to take a hiatus from the rankings at times. Well, that's already happened, because you've left. You're gone. Number 12, Wisconsin. Number 9, Oregon. Rose Bowl teams, you're both gone already. Same weekend as all this other stuff. I think this already counts as a blood week, but we're not done. Number 7, Penn State. You're unranked now. And what clinches it is the biggest drop from ranked to unranked in the history of the AP poll, number 2, Ohio State. What happened? I thought you were good at football. You're not ranked. How can you be good at football if you're not ranked?
Can I ask an anticipatory question?
I don't know what that means, but yes.
If the Big Ten reverses course and says, yes, we're playing football, what will we call the week where multiple members of the top 10 and top 25 win. But because AP voters are like, oh, I got to put my Michigan and my Ohio State back. What are we going to call that?
Bile week.
Bile week?
That's Easter Sunday, brother. That's when the Buckeyes rise again. But then you'll have your doubting Thomases will say, like, I'm not voting for them. They've only played one football game. You know,
right.
Like, okay, come on. We all know Ohio State's one of the five best teams. We don't have to do this.
Because that will happen. We will see that, like, oh, man, here comes, look at Louisiana climbing up. Here's 0-0 Michigan knocking you down.
I could probably live with that if it didn't come with tweet threads.
Oh, God.
So if they're planning on coming back like mid-October, that's like 3 weeks before the first playoff rankings. So, yeah, we will see like 9-0 Army is bumped for 3-0 Michigan. That'll be fun.
Way to support the troops.
Yeah, thought y'all liked war.
Stories of war, not the experience.
So, yeah, that was last week. I don't know. Let's see. Coastal Carolina, Kansas. We were up until 2 a.m. seeing if Kansas could bring, you know, could rally back and defeat Coastal Carolina. No,
buddy, the whole country was up until 2 a.m. watching this game. Nobody had anything to do. I was explaining why we were watching the Kansas game to a group of like biologists in my group chat back home.
Yeah, the answer was no. Kansas could not come back. They lost by 15 to a school that didn't have football until the year 2003. To be fair, Kansas still does not. Texas Tech almost lost to Houston Baptist, which sounds like a mega church, but in fact is the backyard of a CVS. I'm not making that up. Georgia Southern had 33 players sit out for reasons that I don't even think they've explained yet, even though we probably have a good guess. And they still beat the Campbell Camels. I feel like if you are without 33 of your players and you still win, there was no reason for that football game to happen to begin with, really.
My favorite Big 12 thing was the thing that did not even involve a game result, because Oklahoma played Missouri State. Hello, Bobby Petrino. Killed him. Wasn't close. Spencer Rattler looked great. But before this game, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 days before, Lincoln Riley had said, we're not going to be releasing information about, you know, any specifics about what our numbers are testing-wise, because we don't want to give teams a tactical advantage. We don't want to give, you know, we don't want to tip our hand about who's playing, who's not. People were not very happy with this. I would point out that the Big 12 is free to change that and force all teams to disclose this information whenever they want. And we should probably stop getting mad at like individual coaches who shouldn't be the ones making these decisions in the first place. But I digress, because after handily dispatching Missouri State, Lincoln Riley went on to say, oh, well, we told them. We just didn't tell the media who we had out. But we told Missouri State. We're not mean. So, cool.
So Lincoln Riley was worried about like,
mean blogs
ruining his game.
Yeah,
like I'm gonna charge onto the field and do something about Spencer Rattler.
Oh God, he's been so cool, arm. Lincoln. Don't blow it now.
He's been talking to Gundy.
I hope he talked to the team, but not Petrino. Everybody.
I love that, because that is the official story of how WikiLeaks went down. That everyone in the entire program except Bobby Petrino knew. So I think that is just the protocol, I guess. Also, Missouri State covered plus 48.5. Let's go.
Champions.
I can feel Richard Johnson beaming from here.
Notre Dame is 1-0 in the ACC. Who cares?
Oh, I had a good dumb moment during this last weekend. So after Iowa State lost, in my head, I was like, well, this is going to be interesting, because this year there's not enough happening week to week for you to sort of hide. Like the advantage of a normal blood week is that if you are number 9 and you lose, number 5 probably lost, and maybe number 7 did too, so you are not necessarily going to get all of the spotlight. And I thought, well, you know, there aren't that many games happening, there are whole conferences sitting out, so like people are just going to talk about Iowa State and then Kansas State and Kansas and Florida State, like it was like, okay, no, there is still enough concentrated dumb to like give you something to hide behind. Because Iowa State should be so pleased with Florida State losing to Georgia Tech at home in front of a bunch of people wearing masks like on their foreheads.
You don't want to be the first bad memory. You just want to be the last bad memory of the weekend. Nobody remembers the first guy to crash on the skateboard. Everybody remembers the last kid.
Oh, I get it now. Yeah.
Yeah. You just want to be the last memory. Because, like, honestly, do you think most people remember those early Sun Belt upsets? Like, they might. But they sure as hell remember a second-year Georgia Tech team scraping out a win with pennies. The Coinstar victory of the week given to Georgia Tech for pulling the 16-13 budget win over Florida State, who basically a battle of who is the broker boy of teams. And Florida State came up the broker boy.
It was, yeah.
Awesome, is what you meant to say.
In the biblical sense, sure.
Incredible. Just me and Ryan Nanny in our camp chairs.
Y'all go vacation in Paris?
Watching Atlantis slide into the sea going, ha, look at that!
That rules.
Never liked those guys.
Ryan, I'm really sorry because I just realized that makes you the Wahlberg and that's not what I intended.
That's okay.
Okay.
I have a successful burger chain.
And you ride on my shoulders.
Looking ahead to next week is like, man, it is like I can barely remember the before times when we used to do an entire preview episode. Like, how was there that much football? How is that there much stuff happening?
Is
like,
there? Well, first of all, we skipped large chunks of it. Is the schedule all still wonky? Where like for a while it had Duke playing two games next week, or did that get fixed?
It would be about time for any Duke graduate to actually do some work. So hopefully they're playing two games. Wow. But so postponed, it's like five games that are postponed, and that's even outside of the context of the many canceled conferences and the games that were already straight up canceled and all that. The games of actual, like, potential consequence, you got Miami-Louisville? Sure. You know,
Houston,
maybe we find
Houston,
out.
Houston and Baylor were not playing as of this time next
last
Houston
week. Yeah, Houston and Baylor, they just dialed each other up on Sunday and said, hey, do you want to be Fox's biggest game of the weekend? Sure. And so we had a game after years of like, no, we can only schedule games 35 years in advance. Turns out that was a fucking lie.
You know who it sucks to be right now? A grad assistant. Because they're the ones who the head coach is calling at like 3 a.m. and be like, hey, we just signed it. I need all the tape you can grind on Houston. And I need it fucking yesterday.
They have played no games. They've played no games. Hey, watch every Houston game from last year. Oh, when they sat out all their players?
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good preview of 2020 if you think about it.
Yeah, just watch all their players' high school careers.
Hey, at least they're making $16,000 a year.
Yeah, at least they get to sleep in the locker room.
Oh, no, Holly, that was reduced by 10 to 15% if I had to guess.
Times are hard. Meanwhile, watch me buy this boat!
South Florida. South Florida at Notre Dame. That's a thing that's
going to
happen.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when
that happened?
On the USA Network.
We remember that happened because it's happening again.
And again, we all remember why that game is on USA.
Yes, because the US Open at Winged Foot is going to be on the main channel. So they had to switch to USA, which is why if Notre Dame is losing to USF late in the game, I'm just going to start posting videos of me sitting on my couch going, it's a jungle out there. You're losing to South Florida. I don't like it.
You heard it first here, folks. That's what you should
do. God.
It's a mystery to solve. Why are you losing to a team from Tampa? Christ. Randy Newman's on your ass, Notre Dame.
Did you leave me any rosé?
Not a bit. It's a mystery. It's the jungle out there. You got a friend in me.
So, I'm also
Jason.
Excited to
Jason,
announce.
Go ahead. Go right ahead, Jason. What were you gonna say? I dare you.
I mean, keep singing. Eventually.
You're losing to a terrible USF team.
Eventually, the free market of the podcast will decide, and you know, one of us will tire out. I guess
it won't be him.
I just wanted to point out that this weekend's weird late night game, we're going to the surface of fucking Mars. It's Abilene Christian at UTEP, kicking off at 9 Eastern on Watch ESPN.
9 o'clock on Handjob Hill.
You goddamn right. We're going to be watching UTEP at 1:30 a.m. Eastern.
There's going to be people in the stands who are just like, what are people doing in the stands that late at a UTEP game? They're just like, did they bring their own concessions? Like, I'm bringing a hot dog stand and selling them inside the stadium without a license.
I feel like...
No, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Like, no, you can do that.
UTEP stands, you're like, weren't you wearing a mask? And they'll be like, why? You know, it's not even like, I don't wear a mask because of government. They're like, and you're like, because there's a pandemic. Oh, what?
Somebody's going to be sitting up there with a coyote and they'll be like, is that your pet? And they're like, nope, but a new friend.
Hey, let's see some ladies get jacked off this year. Let's have some gender equality.
Hey, you can tune into that on Watch ESPN.
Go on, boys. Nibble on up under that cargo skirt. Nobody's watching.
On the Watch ESPN app.
Sorry for agitating for sexual equality.